Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. And as soon as the studio will allow, I think we can bring on our co-host. But in the meantime, we're broadcasting live from the New Africa Business Association here in Washington, D.C. So again, we are the New Africa Business Association. And again, we welcome our listeners, and we're broadcasting from Washington, D.C. And I am going to now bring on my co-host. And good evening, brother Isaiah.
Greetings. Assalamu alaikum, and good evening, brother Bilal. How are you today, my brother?
Everything's pretty good, brother Aziz. How are you this evening?
Oh, very good, very good, brother. I was looking forward to the show tonight and was wanting to discuss some of the political things that's going on. Now that we got a little bit of money coming into the public or the people's, they say the economy is just going to be stimulated.
It should be, inshallah. Again, giving our audience a moment to come on again. We are the New Africa Business Association, and this is the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio, and we're broadcasting out of Washington, D.C. For those of you who wish to participate, you can call in, and our call-in number is 657-383-1372. So all of you who wish to call in on that, again, is 657-383-1372. And that would be for the those of you on internet, that would be newafricabusinessassociation.com. New Africa Business Association is ASSOC, ASSC, New Africa Business Association.com. And you will be able to participate with us in tonight's show. Brother Aziz, we're talking again, continuing talking about new identified businesses in the African-American community. And like you said, also the political concern that we have, and also the stimulus package. Hopefully later on, Ms. Baker, our financial advisor, our accountant, she has some information because some of the stimulus packages is for small businesses. Many of the forms have been changed, and it's holding up a whole lot of small businesses from receiving their stimulus monies. And so we will hopefully be able to share some information on that as we go through tonight's show. So, Brother Aziz, like I said, we're going to continue to talk about the African-American, the power, first of all, of the African-American dollar. And we know that power shows to be in consumer spendings alone, more than $1.7 trillion. So, again, the power of the African-American dollar is known, but now being able to keep that power in developing our own African-American communities, being able to keep that dollar in the African-American communities. And again, we can't emphasize enough that the way that is done is that the same commerce that you go out of your community, out of the black communities, the same commerce you go on the outside of the communities to to purchase is the same commerce you need to have right there in your own communities. Just think of it, if you had your own gas stations right in your own communities, you wouldn't have to drive 10, 15 miles to spend maybe 2 or 3 gallons of gas just to buy some gas. So it would be right there in your own communities. The same things with all of the other produce, goods, and services. You will find that the African-American communities is a good place to start your business. After all, if you know that that type of spendings is coming out of the black communities, then certainly you are black. And that's what we emphasize in our business, stimulus growth, is the black communities. And because we connect values of business in the black communities. One of the big economical values is that you not only start businesses in a business where there is a need for businesses, but your cost for starting a business is not as great as it would be in a community that sort of put a red line against you. And that red line means that they don't want you, even in their communities. So, again, that will be our topic. This brother this evening is Brother Aziz is talking about the power. And those of you who have a business, of course, can come on and you can identify your business, talk about your business, and share in on tonight's conversation. But the power of the African-American dollar and the advantages of doing business right in the African-American communities. Brother Aziz, I'll take your comments and give you the mic for a while.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I want to say greetings to our listeners and start saying that there's a science behind the fact that we don't spend our money in our communities like we should. And whatever that science was that got us conditioned like that there, we want to use that same science to turn things around to wherein we're going to recondition ourselves to not only look for, you know, African-American businesses to do business with, but again, what our program has been about all these years over and over and over again is like, us coming together, if it's just one or two of us or three of us or four, whatever the number of us that can come together and put some money together, put our money together, as they say, put some skin in the game and invest in setting up a business and attracting everybody you know to support your business and on, but a business that we need in the community that we practice and use every day, one of us or a number of us use the businesses. So, and these are the things that, you know, we continually stress the fact that this is how we're going to come up out of this slump. It's like Imam Muhammad taught, Waruf Muhammad had a saying, told us about a guy named Aga Khan, who his people were doing kind of poor and they were in business. And their businesses wasn't flourishing like they should be because of the competition out there. And he told them, said, look, even if it costs you a few pennies more or whatever, a little more, support your own businesses and you'll see where the wealth will grow in your communities. And the people took that advice from Aga Khan and started buying from one another, even if they spent a little more. And there wasn't supposed to be no rip-off or nothing like that. You know, be fair in your trade. and the people started prospering and started doing better. And not only doing business with themselves and that, they were able to do business with others because others were attracted to them because of what they saw in them, you know, investing in one another and not just being out there, you know, winging it, as they say, whatever tactic you can use or whatever to get some business, you do it, whether it's hook or crook or straight up, you know. But with this way of supporting your own, it not only builds your individual wealth, but it's a community wealth that it starts to be growing and growing and growing, and it expands. The community gets broader and broader, grows. So this is what we, you know, constantly have been stressing, the fact that if we can continue to broadcast like this and touch some of the listeners, wherein they're able to find others to invest in a business in your community where it could be accessible to your people, and we're talking about African-Americans, then we feel like that we've accomplishing something, because this is one of the key assets to freedom. Freedom ain't just because you are a slave, bonded slave. Freedom is when you have the ability to be able to go out and do business and prosper and grow production. Not just having a family, but production, business, trade, doing trade among one another. They tell me that in certain countries around the world, that is how certain religions got promoted. One of them in particular, Islam, in this island called Indonesia. Because they say they went there, and those traders, they were Muslim people, and they didn't talk about their religion or anything like that. They just were fair about how they were doing business with these people. And the people got to communicate with them and find out where those practices come from. And they said, well, wow, we'd like to study that more. And once they started reading about how they got those practices and that, they converted from Buddhism to Islam. But I'm just saying what business can do in influencing other people when you have fair business practices and as well as doing business among yourselves. You know, when you go out and do business outside your community, is because you've been able to do business among your peers and that, and everybody's, you know, doing well. Or and also, maybe you teamed up with some of your peers that's in the same business to go after a bigger slice of the pie. But this is what our program has been about, is getting our people to come together in some form or fashion to do business together as well as support one another. And our program also, you know, primarily allows you to come on and identify who you are, what type of business you have, and become a member of the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., where whenever our show's on, you could come on. But even more better, as we grow, you can have your business put on our website, and we have people from all over the world tuning in to our program via the internet. So That's real rewarding for us to know that we do have, you know, people listening from all around the world. But again, these are the things that we wish to continue to put out there, and hope that we can, that our progress can grow like Black Wall Street of old times was out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, wherein these African-Americans out there were so wealthy that they were financing businesses all over the country. And that's because they were able to do business with one another and do business together with other projects that existed out there, like financing the cattle ranchers down in Texas as well as Oklahoma and Colorado, financing these folks on their cattle drives Then they got paid later on. But so these are the kind of things, you know, we want to promote, that same kind of attitude and even greater than that. And I want to say our producer of this show, Brother Bilal, has been stressing this for a long time, and I'm glad to be a part of us continuing to be able to reach out to our African-American businesses and that, and continue to try to encourage them to network, come on and identify their businesses, and we want to let everybody know so they can support your business too in terms of buying whatever it is you have. So if whoever the listeners are out there, you know, it's an open mic tonight, and we open it up for you to call in and let us know something about you, and you know, it'll benefit you in a big way. So, you know, give us a call in, and Brother Bilal, I'll let you say a little bit more on that. Give you know, we're like Harden and Weaver. You know, we got a lot to talk about. We got other topics to talk about too, but you know, our main topic is getting these folks to come on and identify their businesses. But again, in doing all of that, we want you to become a member of the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C.
We definitely would appreciate
value in that.
And that's definitely would appreciate that. Thank you so much for your comments, Brother Aziz. Many of the things you were saying has great values, especially the one where you were talking about the community that found that doing business with each other, like you said, even though it may cost you a dollar, a penny more, or what have you, but don't necessarily have to cost you any more, but just simply doing business with each other, and how doing business in your own communities would have to value, will have to increase the value of your community. How could it not?
Mm-hmm.
When you start doing business in your communities, remember once, if I start a business in the communities, for instance, 10 of us started a Sunoco a gas station, remember we're going to need employees to have our a station operational. So we just started employment along with starting that business. And many, many other opportunities. So your community will have to grow in value simply because you have businesses in your communities. Right now, we have an invaluable community because we don't have commerce in our communities. And like I said, one of the big examples, and I think one of the things that shocked you and I, Brother Aziz, is when we drove down to, what was the name of the little town down in Virginia?
I can never forget this one unless amnesia. Lawrenceville, Virginia.
I'll never forget going down there and seeing a town where the white folks had abandoned the town. They have moved somewhere else. The only thing they left in the town was a courthouse where they continue to receive the revenues for those who drive through that little town. But they had left the town, but they still want to pick up all the revenues for the town. And but the thing about it, Aziz, not one, you couldn't buy a cup of coffee in the whole town. I mean, not one business was nowhere in sight in the whole town. And African Americans is living all around. and there are no black businesses whatsoever. How can that possibly be? And how can you possibly be in a community where you have a big community and you see that there's no commerce? You can't even go in there and buy, like I said, a cup of coffee. Social activities. How could that possibly be? How can not one see the value of starting businesses in your own town? And that's just a small example of what we're trying to talk about here. It's putting businesses in your own. And you were saying something, I think, a few moments ago. Historically, looked like we've been, and I know what you're saying is true. There has been an inferior thing about keeping us out of business, but that's history, and we know that's past history. But I'm talking about now. Everybody is looking for an opportunity to grow financially in this country. Mm-hmm. Everyone coming to this who, but as soon as they can come get whatever green card they need or whatever they need to operate, they can find a need to do it right in the African American community. Everybody can see that opportunity, and I know we can see it too. I don't understand why we're not progressively doing something about it. And that is what I find mystifying, because I know you've got to be able to see. You've got African-Americans has got to be able to see the values of doing business in our community. They've got to be able to see it. My thing is, what's stopping you from doing it? Our mics are open. We invite your comments. We welcome your comments, but our mics are open. And so, Brother Aziz, that's my question, is why aren't we being much more proactive about becoming, creating businesses in our communities, businesses that are needed? Like I said, we need gas stations. We need food distributions. We need just about any type of business that you can think of.
Yes.
We need right in all African American communities. I am saying, how do you motivate that activity? Like you said, these stimulus checks that's coming in. The best thing, can you imagine? Some of these stimulus checks is probably more money than the average low-income African-Americans probably ever had in their hands at one time, because of some of these lower-income families with larger families can receive as much as $11,000 to $12,000. So I am saying, just think of that went on in family organized, and there was about 10 of us in our families receiving that type of monies. We have our hands now over $100,000 or a couple $100,000 as a family. Now, of course, you can, in other words, what do you do with your future? Now you have enough monies to start a business. And this business could sustain you for the rest of your life, and it could sustain your business is ongoing. So there are some opportunity times here. If folks would start doing some serious financial planning, they could change the conditions of their life. And this is the opportunity to do it, because remember, if you went to the bank and tried to borrow this $10,000, $11,000, or $15,000 that you got coming from this stimulus, they're gonna turn you down. But now you're gonna have it. And so again, 10 of you in the family is saying, okay, rather than we're going to open a Sunoco filling station or another type of franchise or a type of business that you think would do would be quite profitable. But now's a good time to start thinking about open businesses. And like I said, open them right there in the African-American communities. Brother Razzies, like I said, our mics are open. We welcome everybody's comments.
Yeah, you know, above all, the fact that there are different businesses that we can jointly participate in and put our funds together, and in doing that, we see that what may be overlooked or may not be overlooked, that even if you have a number of people that invest in the business and all they want to do is put the money into the investment and watch it grow, have some type of prospectus which tells them this is what we anticipate that we'll do. We're going to do this. This is the proposal. Well, they would know, even though they're not there, you know, it's an investment. That's the skin they got in the game. But at the same time, when they, you know, they got this investment, you should be telling others about this, other friends of theirs, other family members, first of all. Family members, friends, and so forth and on, to let this be known. That's how much you got invested. It ain't just that you put your $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, or $100,000 in there. You know, it's a business that people utilize, or a business that people need, or it's a business. And it's one that, you know, that you could make money off of for many, many years and ongoing. But it has to be, you know, marketed and promoted. And we've always kind of said that, especially in a food business in particular, we know this, that the word of mouth is better than anything you can put out there marketing. When the people say, I know where to go get this food from, or I know where to get my car fixed, I know where to get my lawnmower fixed, I know where to get my washing machine fixed or some electrical work done on my home, I know the best guy, this and that. Well, you know, that's how businesses grow. And it doesn't matter what color it is, but that's how businesses grow, by word of mouth. This is the kind of word of mouth we want out there among our people, letting one another know where there are businesses that do this. Now, we do have, in some places, some forms of black business directories in some of the Afro paper, a Muslim journal, other African-American newspapers. We know that there's some businesses advertised in there, but it's not something like a book that we could go to. And we, you know, in whatever city you are located, that, you know, your business can, you know, people can look your business up if they need your service and utilize you, get to know you. And, but this is one of the things the New Africa Business Association in Washington, D.C. is promoting also. Once you come on this, anyone that knows about the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., and is a member especially, then they know to go on the site and look up and see if there's a business in where they are, and perhaps it might be a city that they're in particular, and they could get whatever it is, whatever service it is that they need, they can get it done. We're talking about from being a dentist to, you know, being somebody to go out and clean out septic tanks. Anywhere in that perspective, we're talking about African-American businesses, painters, roofers, people that know how to teach gardening skills, arts and crafts, whatever your business is as African-American, you know, and where you're located is important that people know who you are, where you are, what you're doing. And that's one of the things that we're offering here on the New Africa Business Association in Washington, D.C. Just with your membership and going on out, putting your business on our website, as well as coming on the program and letting us know who you are, what you're about and everything. And people can go to our website as well and listen to previous shows that we've had in case they missed some of the dialogue that we may be having and they get in on the tail end of it or something like that. But we have that also that's offered on this New Africa Business Association. But to see that and, you know that, you know, wherever you are, you can come to the website and look for that. That's a big offering that we have because not only about the businesses and that, you know, it may be in locations where you don't know anyone. But you see this new, you know, the website New Africa, so you know there's somebody that's in the community, you know, the new Africa Business Association, one of us. So you can go there and probably get a boatload of information that's completely different than what you originally went there for. You went there for one thing, but because of the networking and that, man, you found out a lot of information about other things that that put you on another trail, another opportunities as well. It just allowed you to be able to find some services and businesses that you utilize that were part of our community, you know, keeping that money circulating as many times we can throughout our community. It's a challenge. It should be a challenge to all of us. Unfortunately, we don't have any major grocery stores that we can go shop at and support one another. I do know that reading back some articles from last year, we discussed it, Brother Bilal, that in Richmond, Virginia, a sister and her mother, African-American sister and her mother, opened up a small grocery store in a section of Richmond to serve a community that was there that had to go, as you said earlier, a long distance to go get food as well as gas. You know, there wasn't nothing there. And you have people, it was said in the article, and people, names were given that lived in places that were 20 and 30 miles away from Richmond that said that they were going to drive there just because of what the people were doing and support the business. So that's the kind of opportunities that exist out there. That not only we want to give to other African American businesses if we know who they are, where they are, and you know, just as well as supporting our businesses, you know, we're going to have good businesses and we're going to have businesses that are not up to par, and you know, and this is something that has to be known too, just as well as we know any other business. We know word of mouth being good can spread fast too, but word of mouth being a business that's not up to par, that can spread too, and it will, you know, make people not want to do business with you, you know, if you don't have, as they say, that 5-star or 3-4-star recommendation. That's the one other thing we want to do, and this is the practice that we have to do in order to, you know, to build that solid foundation of knowing that we can do business with one another, and knowing that a fair deal is going to be given. One of the things I found out some years ago, in the Washington, D.C. area, there's a number of vendors that sell different souvenirs and artifacts around the different monuments in the Washington area. And most of these vendors are Korean. And they sell a number of the artifacts. They sell one of the biggest souvenirs that they sell is T-shirts. And they have all different designs on these T-shirts, which are designs belonging to some individual. So if you print something up like that, you are infringing on somebody else's a pattern or design, and you could be sued for that. Now, in order not to get into that conflict with one another, the Koreans, they have a magazine that they have that's among themselves where they do trade. That's from the East Coast to the West Coast. And all these vendors that are part of that, they have all the different designs of T-shirts and things that they sell so that nobody is infringing on somebody else's stuff, that this is a registered trademark or patent. And it's very organized. But that's how they come together and do business together. It was almost like because of their culture, they already, when they got into some business like that, they already knew to go seek out this organization to be a part of it, to identify with that, because they could get stuff from those other vendors that they saw who had the trademarks on certain items in that, and bring it to D.C., as well as some of their stuff going on the West Coast, depending on what the items were. So, and that's part of being that big network. And this is what the New Africa Business Association in Washington, D.C. can offer, that same thing, because once you're on us or become a member and you're on a site and we know who you are, people from east, west, north, south, outside of the country, will know who you are, know what you're doing, and that possibility that they may be trying to do the same business or doing the same business over in another place or another country. And you may be able to connect, network, and do something that may increase both of your businesses on both sides of the world, or in another state, another city, in the same state. So this is what we're all about: network marketing, identifying various businesses that may be able to prosper because of the fact that they have networked and marketed and met other African Americans that's in the business. Just think how your families can grow as well as the community can grow. Communities grow around businesses. That's how they grow. Most churches are built, as Brother Bilal used to say, churches and masjids that you see that grow and are big. It's not only the little small people that donate nickels, dimes, pennies, and dollars, and that's all they have, not knocking them at all. But it's the guys that put in the big money that make these, and you normally see them on board as board members and all this and that, helping that church grow or that masjid grow. But it's the businesses that put that in, and the businesses put it in because they're doing good in business, but it's their belief too that, they'll grow by putting this into their houses of worship. Well, we like that for all African Americans, whatever your house of worship would be. But this is how you can build, help build your places, especially, which we know now is better for us, schools wherein our children can learn a little more than one side of American history. Learn African American children can learn in school a part of history where not only was someone a slave, but the slave had the intelligence to invent and come up with ideas that helped promote and move the whole society forward, not just something that helped him do his work a little better, but to move that benefited the whole country, America. And this has been ongoing and ongoing right to the day. These type of things our children need to know on a daily basis as part of their education, from little bitty itty one to an adult and beyond, because, you know, we never stop learning about our history. There's so many things that have been so secretive, and then when there were laws made that you could not file for a patent or a trademark in America. You know, many, many years went by, wasn't able to do that. So people took our ideas, and ran with them, trademark and patent them. And that's what they claimed the wealth. We've seen that so many times in the history books. But these histories, that we know as adults, the children need to know these things so they can know, like, hey, man, some of the pictures you see about these so-called places they call ghettos or places or public housing, it should be. Shouldn't nothing be called ghettos, because that's not what we live in. A lot of us live in public housing. It's not a bad thing. It don't have to be public housing. Don't have to be a bad thing. But out of there, we know that those people live there have to go to different places to do business. And that's how we want to have it, where when they come out of there, they can do business with us. Some of them can have jobs and that. It's always a way to help one another. Business is the best way, because that's how you're making money, to be able to help one another as a business person and as a person supporting businesses. So, you know, again, for all those that are listening to us, you can benefit tremendously and greatly by becoming a member of the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. Support us, and you will see your business grow. We know this from the listeners that listen and believe in what they're hearing and support the idea of knowing that it's a must that we do business with one another if we want to see ourselves grow as a people, or either we'll be those that spend our money else places and we won't have communities. Other people will have our communities.
Yeah, brother.
They'll have our money. But yeah, Brother Bilal, that's we hope they, which I say this was your baby, brothers. I'm just been working with you these years again, you know, trying to do the same thing. But I know this was your baby from the start, wanting to, as a business person yourself, trying to get more people to, you know, network and identify. We used to have African-American cleaners in D.C. and that. Remember that?
You know, Brother Aziz, that's the whole thing. It's thing about remembering this and remembering that in business. But at the same time, we are 98% consumers, and we're spending more than $1.7 trillion in consumer spending. You see, right there tells me, you say this is my baby and this is my passion. It is, but rather more than that, it just makes good ethical sense. When you see a community, and we're talking about now my community, African-American community, spending more than $1.7 trillion. Brother, do you know that's more money than African Americans are spending more monies, as much money as Great Britain, and as much money as North and South Korea. That's how big our spending revenue shows, the kind of revenues that come through the African Americans. So again, the money's come through our hands, but we have no business, no organized way to keep the business in our hands, because we don't have any financial institutions. We don't have insurance companies. We don't have, it just goes on and on about what it is we don't have. But at the same time, we have this large money income, and because we don't, and the reason we know, like you said, the history shows all kinds of reasons as to why we don't have these financial institutions, and at some point in history, we did have them, and then, of course, for legislation and hate and this and, you know, because hate in this country is for real, especially when it comes to black power and the power of the black dollar. I mean, right now you have it as to where they want to alter, they want to stop black folks or most of the black folks from voting in this country, period. They're trying, because again, they realize how powerful the vote and the dollar in a democracy. And so we are having an effect on their democracy that they've been manipulating and enjoying for so many years. That manipulation is coming to an end because of our registered voters, and now we're voting. And I'm praying that we will have our first governor in Georgia just as soon as they can have elections. But not only this governor, but you start thinking about it, the state of Virginia, the state of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. Those four states, African Americans should own politically, because there are so many of us in those states. So again, and so that type of power, folks realize, is causing a change. They see this change coming. And so now they want to take away the most powerful thing an American can have, and that is the right to vote. And so you can see just how mean and how desperate these folks are when it comes to stopping you. That red line that they put up years ago in our communities, that red line isn't stopping us. And so now they're trying to put up something even more devastating to stop us. But see, again, if you start building businesses in your own communities and become independent of someone stopping you, you can't be stopped. And so that's why we emphasize start business meetings in your communities. One of the things in the African-American communities, you heard tell of the PTA meetings, the association meetings, and all other kinds of meetings, your fraternities and sororities meetings and this and that, but you never heard nobody talking about we're having a business meeting. And that should be one of the biggest meetings on everybody's agenda. Every church, every masjid, every school, everywhere you go, barbershops. There was always should be an agenda as to where we'll have a business meeting in our communities, because it's going to start with the communities at least having business meetings before you can have a business agenda or put together a business agenda. So again, our mics are still open. I think we have look like we might have a Brother Umar. Brother Umar, are you with us? I think I see Richmond down in there. Anytime I see that 804. Brother Umar, if you're with us, welcome. Okay, Brother Umar, if he's with us, he knows he's welcome. But again, Brother Aziz, that's what I mean about business. It's just we need to talk about business and politics. Those are the two biggest things that can bring us victory, or it could bring us or it could make disaster for us if we don't do something about it ourselves. No one else is going to do it because, again, anytime they want to take away your right to a vote, that means that they don't want you to have anything to do with the growth of the laws or anything to say is for this country of the United States of America. They don't want you to have any say whatsoever. But again, so that's why politics and business is something African Americans you must start putting that on the top of your agenda and having meetings as to where you're talking about business and politics. Start the discussion. Start business associations in your communities, and or at least start business discussions, business meetings in your communities. And then, yes, join the New Africa Business Association here in Washington, D.C., because that's what we do. We network, market, and we start businesses in your communities. We assist you and start businesses and networking and having business meetings and business luncheons, lunch and learns, all types of business activities you should be having in your communities. You know, another thing, Brother Aziz, while you was generalizing about business, and you notice, talking about the Korean communities, if you went into a Korean communities right here in the United States where the entire communities was are more or less Orientals or more or less Koreans or what have you. And not only the Oriental communities, but the African communities or any other communities where they dominate the communities, when you go into their communities, you're going to see outdoor vending. They're going to be outdoors selling their produce right outdoors. And vehicles or what have you, but everything that they think that you would be interested in buying, you're going to see that type of activity going on right in their communities. Now you go into an African American community, the weather is getting ready to get warm. Unless we in a brick or mortar, unless we inside of a building that costs all kinds of money to be in to rent, we don't see where we can do business. My thing is, why can't we be in our own black communities and be out doing businesses in our canvases, opening up our canvases right there on our streets and doing businesses right there in our communities and selling our produce and anything else that you have to sell. You remember when we was over in Arabia, man, you tell me what you couldn't buy on the streets. I mean, you can buy gold. You can buy some gold. And I mean, some of the finest anything was for sale right there on the streets. So again, I'm saying, why isn't that type of business activities done in our communities? You don't have to be in a great big expensive store in order to do business. That's what I mean about African Americans doing business in our own communities. We don't have to go by somebody else's culture. We have our own ways of doing and a business. And outside a business, I think, is a good way to get started to getting to grow into a larger franchise if you want to. But start doing business in your own community and whatever goods and services you have. Display it right there in your communities. But where is the signs? Where is your tents? And where is anything else you need to put up to start doing businesses? So, again, our mics are open. We welcome your discussion. All right, I guess we got a quiet evening, I think, this evening, Brother Aziz. But that's okay. We can.
If I can interject a point, I would like to.
I'm sorry. I think somebody do want to make a comment. Our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Yes, yes. I just want to, first of all, really appreciate it again, Brother Bilal. You know, you always put it out there as a challenge, as well as informing, you know, the community as to the importance of, you know, commerce, trade, business, and community development. And what came to my mind as we approach the centennial celebration, as well as memorial of Black Wall Street in Tulsa, I think this would be a good opportunity to kind of kick off, you know, that narrative that you speak of, you know, because there have been three narratives that define Black business, Booker T. Washington, the Elijah Muhammad, and the Black Wall Street, you know, so those three narratives, you know, combined, you know, does create a new Africa, you know, plan of action. I don't know whether it's a plan in Washington, D.C. to commemorate the 100 year of Tulsa in terms of Black Wall Street. You know, just a conversation or a seminar at the Master, you know, would get that kind of stimulation going, because, you know, that is a movement, you know, as a well-known movement that's growing in momentum across the country, you know, that is the Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
You know? So, that, you know, I think one of the things that you mentioned, the various states, unfortunately, we don't have a regional or a national organization that's beating the pavement around, you know, getting the information out around business opportunity or the A's and B's and C's of, you know, establishing or starting a business. You got that kind of gap. We seem not to be able to organize ourselves, even in the state of Virginia. You know, you got several organizations that, you know, that they claim that, you know, they're interested in having people go into business, but they don't come together to do one or two, three big events, you know, that the broader community will get a chance to see what services they provide, as well as, you know, have them speak like you're speaking on the importance of considering, you know, going into business, even if it is a flea market or a vending or, I know in Virginia, the food truck business just is off the hook. You know, I mean, everybody's buying a truck and carving it out and putting a stove in it and making money. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So,
wow.
The opportunity is there. It's just a matter of just getting the narrative out, you know, getting the message out. You know, but I tune in on Black Wall Street, you know, after this flip going off. That, you know, again, the Black Wall Street is, you know, is a real legitimate way of penetrating the community, because you got a generation that's really waking up to that history and want to know how do you duplicate that. I know something you said some time ago that made sense. You know, not only what happened in Tulsa, but what happened across this country. I know in Richmond, we had, you know, the Jackson War, you know. So we are basically trying to make something happen as we get closer to May to just commemorate Jackson War, you know. I'm in touch with the Black History Museum and see, can they do a seminar, no more than a Zoom, just talking about, you know, Jackson War during its heyday, to kind of stimulate that idea that, hey, look, you know, when segregation was in place, hey, we were still doing trade with each other and blossom. So, again, I don't know if D.C. is anything being planned for May to kind of commemorate. You know, you've got the Anacostia Museum, you know, in the D.C. area, or anything happening at the Masjid to kind of, you know, talk about the Black Wall Street narrative. And what does that mean? You know, 100 years ago, that was a real township, you know, that basically blossomed.
Brother Umar, look like we're getting ready to go off the air real soon here. But let me just say this. Yes, we here in Washington, D.C., have a big interest in of the history of Black Wall Street and the support in the Black Wall Street movement. But again, we also are interested in Black Wall Street and how they want to join us. So again, if we can find some way that we can do the merger that I thought we had done, I would be more than happy to continue that relationship, because you're right. We have put out information, and a lot of folks are looking forward to continuing the valuable information that was put out. And I don't want to damage that information by saying anything negative, but I would like for Oklahoma or anyone else who is concerned, we'd all need to meet and talk and see where we are going and which direction we're going. So I look forward to your right. It's we started something that need to be continued. So I look forward to hearing from whoever we have to hear from to continue that relationship that we started. So until then, brothers, again, next Wednesday, we will be right back on the air talking about...
Here I stand where winds are blowing, and I feel that love.